I am Chris Von Erich. Come on, Franklin.
That's hot. Are you serious? If you walk around looking like that, you deserve it.
I got something to say about that. This is The Red Lens.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chris Von Erich, and this is The Red Lens. It is Thursday night here in New York. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You are all out there watching, and we are here, and I am here with my trusted co-host, Franklin. How are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing all right, Chris. I can't complain. I'm glad this week is almost over. And before I forget, I just want everybody in the audience to know that this show was brought to you by the letter F. Okay, well, you know what I mean. This is brought to you by the letter F, and that F is for Franklin.
Or the F train.
Or the F train in this case, yes.
As people probably don't know that who are not here in New York, that we have an F train and E train and D and so forth, et cetera. So we don't have, I will say, we don't have the prettiest subway system out there. That's for
it's
sure.
Getting there, Chris. Have you been to?
I know we have the most dangerous one, so that ought to be.
That's got to count for something.
Yeah, it does. It has to rank us somewhere. You know, definitely not at the bottom. You know, so
it's getting better, Chris. I'll tell you. I mean, it ain't Europe and it's not Asia, but it's getting. You know, it's nice. Have you been to the Moynihan station there?
No, you're talking about the new station.
Yes.
Wait a second. They renamed it.
I believe it's called the Moynihan. Whoever it is, Daniel Moynihan, maybe. I'm not sure.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it's actually on the other side of, I guess, not Penn Station, not Madison Square Garden, but Penn Station, underneath of the library. I believe. Yeah. Post office.
Right.
I've taken the Amtrak out of there a couple times. It's actually a really, really, really nice station. But as luck would have it, a lot of the things in the bathroom just brand new, still didn't work. Attaboy.
At least you could be in the bathroom.
That is very true.
That might not be able to be said in a month or so. But speaking of nice things, Franklin, we have some nice things to take a look at tonight.
Do we?
And that is our main topic, which is Hooters, which I've actually been to Hooters a handful of times in my life. I must say that I was disappointed in that the namesake, at least for the geographic area I was in, was not what I expected. Let's just put it that way. So I was a little disappointed. You know, I think that's a very, very proper thing to say, that I was disappointed.
Well, you're probably talking to the only person. you're talking to the only person who probably ever went to Hooters, complained about the Caesar salad. It was terrible.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, you see, you should, if you were doing that, I mean, I swear, like, that would be something that.
Gay.
Yeah,
I was waiting for that.
I should tell people before we get too involved, we want you to subscribe to the channel, youtube.com, The Red Lens. We are also on Twitter at The Red Lens One, number one. Facebook.com is the same thing. We stream live to Facebook, to YouTube, and also to our friends at MGTOW.TV at The Red Lens. So you can find us. And actually, I'm selling ourselves short. We also on Twitter, they actually stream as well. So there's four platforms for you guys to watch us. We are also on the Gram, Instagram, The Red Lens One. Hit us up on there. We read our comments. We do all that stuff. Also, as everybody knows, if you wish to comment on the topics that we're moving through here tonight, you can do so. You can either do so in the comment section, or you can call in. 224-231-4652 is the number for you to do that. We want you to like, we want you to comment, we want you to subscribe to the channel, share it out to your buddies, your family, let them know how depraved you are by watching this program. And you can help us out by donating via Cash App, $Chris Von Erich, if you want to do so. So Franklin, you know, let's move on here a little bit. And I think people are already commenting in here. Let me see. Mighty Zane says the best thumbnail of the Manosphere by far. Yeah, I take my time to see what guys might want to take a look at, might get their eyeballs pulled to the set. So I try my best. So thank you, Mighty Zane, for that. Florida Jeff says, let's go, Brandon. All right. He's already getting political. He's got his political hat. Well, we'll get to some of that stuff later on. Would I ever take 2 months off from the Red Lens to go on paternity leave? No, because first of all, if I'm in that situation, I got a lot of other problems. So this show not being one of them. Now, Franklin, have you ever been to Hooters?
You know what? I have, as a matter of fact. It's been a while, but yes, I have been. I frequent the establishment.
You do, so you like it. You like.
Oh, of course, of course. Any Franklin would. We love it to death. Caesar salad or not, it's always a good time.
Mm. Now, have you? Do they have international markets?
They do, as a matter of fact. I've actually been to two of the Hooters in Japan. I'm not sure if there's any one left. The last time I was there, it wasn't long for this world. I think it was in Shinjuku and Roppongi, if I'm not mistaken. And talking about being disappointed, little disappointed there too, actually. Things aren't, like Texas. Things aren't as big as Texas. I see.
Oh my.
So there you go. So you felt like you were a little cheated when you were over in Roppongi.
I most certainly did.
those girls were not getting the tip that the girls in Dallas would be getting.
No, just the tip, actually.
Just the tip.
But it was fun, just to say that I've been. But I'll have to do some research and see if it's still there. If it's there anymore.
Right, and as Marty Hertz said here, Marty, the moderator for us, come for the breasts, stay for the wings. Absolutely, there you go, my friend.
Hey now.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get to these. Let's give them what they want. Let's give the audience what they want here. Okay. I'm a firm believer in that. Okay. And really anything I say tonight because of the Hooters concept here is going to sound very perverted.
Oh.
So I apologize for the one or two girls that are actually listening right now.
Girls named Karen, by any chance?
Karen and whatever. name for any, you know, race of girl that's out there, that would be a you know what, but okay, too hot for Hooters, and that's what we're getting at here. What's going on here, ladies and gentlemen, is that just about last week, it came down from Hooters headquarters general that after about 50 or actually, I don't even think it's been 50, maybe 30 years of existence, they wanted to change the uniform. Okay. So they thought everything was good until some of the girls talked up. And we're going to share our first article here because they actually did some videos. Okay. They had some videos where they felt, you know, that they wanted to be heard. So, It says here Hooters is serving servers are complaining about the chain's inappropriate new uniforms. So, as I said before, the uniforms have always been a point of controversy. The latest update to the chain's classic uniform is drawing the major ire from those who have to wear it, which are the servers. In a recent slew of TikTok videos, and we're going to get to those, the uniforms have barely been updated through the chain's decade-long history. Okay, so it's only 10 years, 12 years, sorry.
Barely. I see what you did there.
Yeah. I gave him a little bit too much there. So there we go. And I said it again.
Hey now.
So several Hooters servers complained about new shorts the chain is mandating them to wear. We all know about mandates. We're going to hate that word by the end of the year, let me tell you, Franklin.
I'm surprised already it's not been striked from the dictionary.
They are getting very upset because they say they look like panties or, you know, undergarments that women would be wearing. TikToker said that Hooters gets new shorts like underwear, joking in a video about it. So let's see if this video plays with some sound.
What do you think, Wackus Bonkus? Ooh, you naughty Wackus Bonkus.
Okay, so she is poking fun at it. Okay, so let's see what this girl says. She does a side-by-side comparison of the shorts. Okay, so I can see there that they in fact are a little bit they're a little bit short shorts, you know. So let's see what this girl has to say about it.
So a lot of you guys were wanting to see the comparison of like the Hooters shorts to the Wing House, and I think the Wing House shorts are very similar to what the new Hooters shorts looks like. So here's my Hooters shorts and here's my Wing House, just to give you an idea of what that looks like. So yeah, that's why I didn't want to work at Wing House. But if
okay, so Bailey Hunter didn't want to work at Wing House. So just for giggles, I think I can just change the page and get into her her account here. So
you know what? I got a word for Bailey. Don't. How's that?
Yeah. Okay. It seems I can't without stopping the share. So let me do that because I think it's important to we see the outrage. Okay, by these girls. Okay, it's very outraged that they have to wear these, you know, these skimpy outfits. But let's
mean uniforms, Chris?
Uniforms, yes. Well, okay.
Mandated by the company that they work for, fill out the application and all of that.
This is true.
Just want to make sure I got that right.
Now that is a great point you bring up. Now, as employers. Okay. Do they have the right to say, look, you know, we have a uniform here, and whether it's business practices or image consciousness or what have you, take, you know, they're part of the culture. They're out there. They see what, you know, it's very risque out there now. Okay. On social media, on out in the world. And they might be saying, look, you know, we want to, you know, grab hold of this new thing, and there you go.
Hey now, you're full of them tonight, aren't you?
I am, and again, the topic is actually doing this for us. What I'm trying to say is, do they have a right to say, "Look, we're changing our uniform," as you just said, and you don't have to work here, but this is what we're doing as a corporation.
If I remember correctly, wasn't there something similar, and I believe it was England, or I'm not sure if it was all the UK, or that they were mandating women who had to wear, I forget, in the office, had to wear a certain kind of shoe or something like that, and I remember that was a big stink about a year and a half, now it's longer than that, about 3 or 4 years ago. I remember that was a big deal.
How dare you?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I thought it was kind of silly, but you know what?
They didn't want to wear the shoe, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of silly because, you know what? If you're getting coffee, if you're getting everybody coffee, I don't really care what you're wearing. You know, just make sure you get the coffee right.
Can you share with me in the audience, what was it about the shoe that was like so?
I believe it was like a heel height type of a thing. The company, and I could probably Google this up right quick. I believe the company was mandating something, a 3-inch heel, 4-inch, whatever it was. And the women were like, oh, it was uncomfortable. You know, we're being not subjugated. It was another word for it. But, you know, we're being I forget the word for it, but I can actually look it up real quick, and if I can, maybe I can send you the link if I can find it.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can do that in the spare time where we take a look at Bailey Hunter, one of the girls that just could not work at Hooters.
Bailey Hunter, gotcha.
Let's see what she's got going on here. Here's a post, kicked out of a strip club.
This is the night that me and my friend got kicked out of the strip club. And before any dancers come for me, wait till the end so I can explain why I now see why it was an issue. But all of our bars closed at 3 a.m., but the club closed at 5 a.m. So after the bars, we all went to the club. And at this point, I was already blackout drunk. And we're telling the guys which girls we want dances from, we're throwing money, we're having a good time, right? Well, after a few more drinks, me and my friend end up kissing. She's dancing on me, I'm dancing on her, and the manager comes up to us and tells us that we have to leave. And I'm like, why? And he said it was because we were distracting the men from the dancers. At this time, I honestly did not understand why I couldn't dance at a club. But now I do. It's like if I'm bartending and a person comes behind the bar and just pours their own shot. Like, that's my job. You came here to drink, not to pour the drinks. But this was before I even knew I was gay, and honestly, I just wanted to see some hot girls.
Okay. All right. Okay. So
I was wondering where that was going.
Well, there you go. Okay. So we don't have to see anything more from Bailey. Okay. She's just disqualified herself for having an opinion about wearing shorts.
Okay.
I know. Here we go. Yes, I have that. I have that. There you go. That's where she gets put. Yeah, okay.
Crickets too. That's one of my favorites.
The crickets. You want the crickets? Okay, you can have crickets here. As soon as I cue it up, there you go. Here's
a cricket. Yeah, that's a pretty good cricket. Still not that anemic one you had the last time.
That's true. Again, you forfeit your objection to what you're wearing if you're. Next post on TikTok is about how you were blackout drunk going to a strip club, getting grinded on by dancers, jumping up on their dancing pole, okay, to the extent where the owner of the strip club had to say, hey, look, you know, relax, or, you know, you're getting out of here. You know, you're getting tossed out. So that we've solved the mystery of Bailey Hunter. Oh my God! Let's see what are these guys saying in here.
One poll to a chick, please.
Yeah, I know, that's right. One poll. A hooter could also be an owl. That is true. That is true. And I think their mascot, as it were, is an owl.
Yes. So, yes, it was. Is.
Yeah. It'd be quite a different thing if it was. You know, like a body part that would.
Oh my,
George.
My take: you come here looking for a job, you can leave here looking for. Hey, there you go. All right, I bet a lot of people are feeling that way.
Oh, of course.
Max. Oh, Dean Esme in the house. Friend of the program, and he was actually one of the first guys. We. Collaborated with way back when, 2 years ago. Hey, is it possible to comment on the live stream? Absolutely. Does he mean can you actually pop on?
I think that's what that means, Chris. I'm not sure though.
Okay. Yeah, because anybody can comment, and I usually throw up the comments, you know, as long as they're not, you know, dropping F-bombs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if anybody has an opinion and wants to pop on, just let me know, and I can share the link in the chat to have you pop on here
to make that happen.
Or you can, as it says, well, it's blocking my ticker is blocking it, but you can call the live number, which is 224-231-4652. That is an active open phone line where you can call in to the program and voice your opinion that way as well. So anybody out there that wants to chime in on Hooters and do these girls have a dog in the fight to say, I'm just not going to wear that? Or, you know, does the company have every right to say, look, you know, we're going 2 inches higher. We're going more for a bikini. You see, and I don't get the whole underwear thing. I think that's a little extreme. Mm-hmm. I would say it's more akin to like a bikini. And again, I'd like to see what these girls are wearing when they go to the beach. You know, I'm sure it's not a tankini or a one piece for most of these girls.
Probably the case.
So
I'm gonna have to Google up and see what Hooters headquarters looks like. I can just imagine what the building looks like.
Oh, Dean is saying that it's hard to figure out how to comment on Facebook. Well, I would say to anybody out there that's having a problem watching the live stream vis-a-vis Facebook is to get your butt over to YouTube and watch us there, because I think it's a ton more easy.
Probably better
to drop comments in there and do stuff like that. So definitely do that. All right. So let's get back to these ladies here as I drop the banner away. All right. Let me just share up the screen one more time. And let's I'm not breaking on these girls so much, but I just want to get people to the point where they know what's going on here. So let's take a look at Grace here. And hold on. See, I did it again. I keep forgetting that the it's the second screen that I got to bring up here, Franklin. So let's do that right now. This is Grace. This is the one that just, again, couldn't wear the outfit. So let's see. Well, here she is.
Now, honey, you can't blame her for what her mama gave her. It ain't right to hate her for working that money, baby. Man, she's down at two.
Okay, well, she doesn't seem to have too much of a problem, you know, dancing.
She fills it out there. Yeah, she fills it out nicely.
I would say so.
Hey now.
So yeah, like I said, she doesn't have a problem there. So I don't know if that was the next day or what have you. You know, again, here we got. Okay, they're very early, so that's okay. That's normal. I'm just trying to get an idea of, okay, so.
People get up in the morning to make TikTok work, and that's the best that people pay them back with.
I would say so. Well, here's one that I'm seeing. She's part of this year's Hooters calendar for her area.
Oh, no.
Which I would imagine would be somewhere in the South, because she seems that she has country music playing in a lot of these videos. Again, I'm trying to see what the if we have any. Well, here we go. Why you should work at Hooters? For some reason, this is
no audio.
I guess not for this one. All right.
Probably don't even need it.
Yeah, no. Do we really need it?
Yeah.
But again, this is she's posting videos about how great it is to work there, And then she's dancing with the uniform on. So what are we talking about here? You know? Yeah. And there's like multiple videos here where she's dancing around.
Maybe they're complaining about the 401k or whatever. Maybe that's...
Yeah, right? I know. What is this? Pose like a guy you're too young for. Okay. I don't know what that is, but all right.
Me neither.
Before we get into trouble here, I will stop sharing. All right. So, okay. You know, again, my point is very much that this is a scenario where, you know, they don't really have a leg to stand on, in my opinion, with this. You know, it's you either wear the new uniform or you don't, you know. And we see from their accounts that I don't think it's so much like they don't want to wear the uniform as they don't want to be told what to wear.
That's probably more
that's
like
what
it.
That's what it is. And I think, you know, I think that's part and parcel to chicks in general. They want to control the when and the where that they, you know, do their stuff, you know. So, and I'm keeping it PG for
choose YouTube. To objectify myself on my terms.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you
objectify me before I have a chance to do it myself? Just like Brittany Hunter over there in the strip club.
Right. See, there you go. That's just it.
Well, you know, as what happens normally, once things go viral, once things get to the point where, you know, it's a big problem. Mm-hmm. What happens? But Hooters backpedals on new uniform after major backlash from said employees.
Oh boy.
So there you go. They now, after hordes of Hooters employees lodge complaints about the chain's new, more revealing uniforms, the company is changing the narrative around the implementation and now says the much shorter bikini style shorts are being rolled out, are optional now. So you don't have to wear it if you don't want to.
And you don't get as much of a tip either. Sorry. Well, I mean, let's be honest, okay? Hooters girl A walks by. Hooters girl B walks by. One's wearing more than the other. One's wearing less. Mm. Who do you think is going to get the tip? Sorry. That's just the way it goes.
I mean, it says here some of the most common complaints about the new uniform have been that they are too revealing and uncomfortable, and they ride up causing a perpetual wedgie.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, boy. There we go.
Hey now.
So, all right. So that's that. So basically, again, you know, they are not, you know, they don't have to wear it now. So they complained enough, okay, that, you know, now I guess, you know, my body, my choice, my clothes, my choice. There we go.
And you know what'll happen after that? Your arrows will get cut. How's that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's the company's choice, right there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Can I just for inventory purposes, can I get all the names of the workers that don't want to wear our new uniforms?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, no problem. Let's see here. It covers their, yeah, there you go. Right. Yep. Wear a burqa. You don't need anything. There you go. Very good. Very good. I know. They can go that route.
That's scary.
I wonder even in Dubai, would a Hooters actually fly over there? Probably not.
Probably not, but you know what?
But they would have to be. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The best they could do would be like, you know, a more revealing eye rim, you know, like maybe go a quarter of an inch higher above and below the eye rim, you know, and it would be obviously it would have to be orange to be Hooters color. So
yeah, see that.
So you at least would get that. You get an orange burker with maybe a slightly bigger eye hole. So there you go. So, and I just made enemies with the whole Middle East contingent. So.
Oh boy! You know what? If I may jump in here real quick, did you see there was an article recently about Mia Khalifa?
Oh, she's a favorite of the program, as a matter.
Yeah. It was a little small article saying that she, you know, basically it was if she had to do all over again, she wouldn't have done it the way she did. Basically, that's just the way that went. Just thought I'd mention it real quick.
Yeah. Oh, good old Mia.
It's bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorites. Sorry.
She said she wouldn't do.
She would have done it differently.
The Muslim oriented, you know, with the garbs and things like that.
That was one of the things that she said that she, you know, does regret.
I see. You know, it's funny we're talking about Hooters because one of the things that they had or that I saw here is that they were into a lot of different ways to like build their business. Okay. And one of them was, did you know they had an airline?
No, I didn't. It's a matter of fact.
Well, you know what? We are going to take a look and watch this commercial here.
What was it? Where fares from 99. Sorry.
Yeah. But what happened was, I guess this didn't take off. No pun intended.
Nice.
Wait a minute.
Hooters girls on every flight.
Hooters had an airline?
All leather seats with extra legroom. Call 1-888-FLY-HOOT.
You might not have known about Hooters Air because it didn't last long.
There you go.
It started in 2003, and initially the airline was successful, but it shut down just 3 years later.
We're at the Gary Chicago International Airport, where Hooters Air is about to make their maiden flight to Myrtle Beach.
Based in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it offered low-price direct flights to more than 15 destinations in the U.S. Airfares were a flat rate of $129 each way. So why did Hooters think it was a good idea to start an airline? And why did it fail?
If you like what you see here on the outside, you're going to love what you'll see on the inside.
Hooters was founded by six businessmen in Clearwater, Florida in 1983.
People would say, those perverted men, look at them with those 70s, 80s mustaches.
A year later, an Atlanta-based group led by Bob Brooks saw the company's potential and bought it outright.
I bet that's what he saw.
It was the first restaurant chain, so basically they pioneered the idea that they're going to have all their waiters wear short shorts and really tight tank tops.
Do you know why our beer is so cold here at Hooters? Because we keep it in the refrigerator.
From kind of the 80s until the early 2000s. Was a very successful kind of growing.
You know why it's so cold? Because we keep it in a cold place.
There you go.
Business.
By 2003, Hooters was flush with cash, and Bob Brooks wanted to expand the brand.
So nobody wants to hear about that. But the girls were nice. So, all right. So
Did she say restaurant?
She did.
I heard somebody say restaurant. That's funny.
We did not bring up that she did. So, I guess that's what they were calling it, early on, a restaurant. Very nice. Let's see. They probably spent too much time in the cockpit. There you go.
There you go.
Oh my goodness, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir.
Hey now. Nice one.
Goodness. Yeah, that was good. Again, I'll just wrap it up by saying that, look, you don't like that they, you know, the wardrobe, you know, what they, the uniform they want to wear. Yeah, go work somewhere else, you know. But the fact that, again, they make a fuss about it, it gets big on multimedia, mass media, and then it's a big problem. Well, you know, again, it's only a problem because they didn't think of doing it first. Okay. And they don't like the fact of being told what to do. You know, like a pet, you know, in some cases, a petulant child doesn't like to get told, hey, clean your room. You know,
I'll do it, but I'll do it when on my own terms.
And Marty says that there were other copycats that followed, such as Twin Peaks. Really? There's restaurant chains that were called Twin. Very good.
That was my favorite TV show, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was good. Yeah. Yeah, it was
not a lot of people were into it. I mean, I like David Lynch, so
right. Well, yeah, I mean, well, yeah, you're a strange guy, Franklin. You know, so
well, I thank you. I appreciate that. It's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me all day today.
It's the nicest thing I said to you this week. So
yeah, this week is right.
Okay, so moving on from that, I think we put we put that to bed. No pun intended.
Gonna move someplace else. Put your breast foot forward.
I will put my breast foot forward.
Oh my!
And we talked about it last week, and I usually don't bring things up again once we kind of get rid of a topic, but I'm only doing it because it was part of something that came out again this week, and it's our friend in the comics, Superman here. They won't leave this guy alone. And they, after the whole rigmarole of having his son come out as bisexual and have that illustrated in comics that are out there to buy for all you that want to watch, read that stuff, rather, you can do that. But that wasn't good enough. What they have to do now is they actually have to change our man's motto. His signature, his mantra, his what he believes in, is going to be redefined, Franklin. And
up and away. I forgot. I don't know. Well,
that's what he says when he's taken off. But his motto, in terms of what he stands for, I guess that's the best way to say it. That is changing, and that is changing in the sense of this. Superman to change his iconic motto from truth, justice, and the American way is going to now be truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. So Superman is officially moving away from the motto, which I spoke of. And now the Man of Steel's motto will be truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. In a recent press statement, the company explained their decision that the change is meant to better reflect the storylines that we are telling across DC and to honor Superman's incredible legacy of over 80 years of building a better world. Okay. That's great. That's great that he helps out, you know, the earthlings of the world. That's true. That is what, you know, the story of him is. Okay. The motto featuring American Way was revived in the 50s after the Second World War. Later in the 60s, the motto shifted to truth, justice, and freedom.
I don't remember that.
On the cartoon series, The New Adventures of Superman. 8 months ago, DC, Batman/Superman 16 utilize a different mantra, truth, tolerance, and justice, which is just a homage to the mission Clark Kent's father gave him in the 1948 Superman film. So, again, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know how the audience feels about this. And if you do want to chime in about this, you can do so. You can call in at 224-231-4652. Are you with Superman's new, in my opinion, woke motto, or should they leave it alone? Franklin, what's your thought?
Clearly, this was driven by something or some, it was driven. Okay. The DC did not, I don't think DC did this on their own. Okay. Yeah. Somebody or something or somebody said, I think, you know, this would be better. And naturally being the woke DC that they are, this is what we have now.
Right. Right. And some of the comments here are, you know, they might be pro, they might be for. This guy says his slogan was the American way. Lots of laughs. WTF. The dude literally was from outer space. Again, in the story, that's understood. And his parents, who are from an alien planet, have been observing the world and, you know, our planet. So there's a reason why it's the American, he's adopting our stuff. So it's not that crazy. Let me just shrink this down a little bit here. Drop that away. We do have somebody on the line here. I want to get him in. As I told everybody, you can call us in at 224-231-4652 and ask us about any of the topics we're going on here. And we're going to do that, and we're going to take the call right now. You're on the air. This is the Red Lens. This is Chris Von Erich. What's up?
Hello?
Or maybe not.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Hello? Are you there, caller? I don't, okay. Maybe there's, if you could call back, that'd be wonderful. I can see that the call line is up and running, so there's nothing going on funny with the service, but definitely call back because we want to hear from you guys.
Of course we do.
Let's see here. We have, this says that the, what does this other comment say? They done made him bisexual, hence tolerance. They ain't stopping. They're all there for your kids. Oh my God. Well, there are people that feel that way. Let's see if we can get this call on now. Hello, this is the Red Lens. You're on.
Trying again. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. This is Chris. How are you? Who is this?
Hi, this is Max Esme. Hey. Go by Dean. How you doing?
Doing very well. How are you tonight, man?
Oh, I've been underground for a good long while, being quiet, but I thought I wanted to see what Chris Von Erich and his pal. I'm sorry, brother, I forgot your name.
I'm Franklin.
What you guys were up to.
Yeah, that is,
Franklin,
yeah.
I knew that. Just having a senior moment, as they say, a Generation X moment anyway.
No, absolutely.
So Truth and Justice in the American Way is now and a better tomorrow. People can get mad about this, but like seriously, they've been playing political games with comic books and other media properties for decades. I mean, yes, this makes me a little creepy just because Truth, Justice in the American Way is, you know, damn near 100 years old, the slogan, right? But on the other hand, I was just seeing, I think John De La Rose, who's a Christian science fiction writer, mentioned this, and some of the others I've seen. Superman has always been a symbol of liberal, from the very beginning, from his very origin story, Superman was a symbol of Franklin Roosevelt New Deal era social liberalism. He was. And so, like, he's always been kind of a political tool. you know, and he's been used in various eras politically. And so while I just find this kind of gross, it's just like, whatever, it's predictable. We're moving toward a global world now, so he should be the defender of the Earth, I guess. That's how the new crowd thinks, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
I don't know, I guess I'm not, I can't even get worked up about it.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Anything that I loved in Superman as a kid is now just sort of, yeah, you know, he's a comic book character. Let's get over it, you know?
Mm.
I can see all the nerds out there. I watch I'm an old nerd, right? I'm 55 this year, so I'm a Generation X, not a boomer, but I'm an old nerd who grew up liking my comic books and liking my movies and, you know, my weird movies. And wishing that we could get mainstream respectability for our weird hobbies, because we like Batman and Spider-Man and Doctor Who and crap like that. And now those things have all gone mainstream and been hyper-politicized, and I'm like, no, I don't want mainstream respectability anymore. I want my little nerd world where just me and a few of my buddies are all still in the Batman when we're 30, you know, and that was fun. Because it was just a hobby we had that was a quirky interest. Now, the shit's just all over the place, and YouTube is loaded with channels complaining about it. I'm like, dude, get used to it.
Mm.
When I was reading comic books in the 80s, for example, I really dug X-Men. But in the 80s, Chris Claremont, the writer for the X-Men series, went pretty hyper-left political for that day. I mean, not woke on the sexual issues, I guess, but you look at some of the issues he was writing on, and he was pretty hard lefty for his day, writing mainstream, the main writer on X-Men. So, I don't know, man. It is just a comic book. What do you think?
Yeah, no, you know... A lot of people will think that way. Franklin, what do you feel?
No, I was just going to say a lot of people will feel that way. There are a lot of people that are going to be real, real unhappy about it. But I'm with Max. I guess, you know what? Move on. We'll just have to prepare ourselves for the next shock.
Yeah, well, yeah, the next thing they'll pick at. And my big thing is this, and it ties in. Again, the last episode we talked about it in depth with the masculinity icons as they are, and I feel that this where society is right now is taking a vested interest in saying, okay, what are the archetypes and the symbols for guys that have that like traditional. I hate the word values because it sounds like I'm like, oh, mom and apple pie. what is the symbol of what a man typically is and those qualities? And let's take that and let's bend it and, bring it into, modern day how things are, and we'll change it. That way. And even if it's just symbolic, I just think it's another little thing they're picking away. That's how I feel about it.
Understood.
To be honest with you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
What I would add, to be honest with you, now I want to state it straight up. I have a transgendered child, and I've had friends in the quote unquote gay community my whole life, even though I'm fairly traditional. And even still, I actually find the whole bisexual Superman thing far more disturbing.
Well, here's the thing. You're the perfect guy to ask this. And in terms of, asking your son, wouldn't they feel... whatever, either or.
Trans daughter, that way you don't have to get with me. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my point is, wouldn't they feel a lot more connection and something that it was for them if the writers and the cartoonists and comic book writers took time and built out a character and a backstory that was all theirs rather than take something and kind of, you know, change it or add on to it just to, you know, well, here you go. Here's something for you guys
to fit your new narrative.
And there have been various stages of that. I remember some early stabs at it in something called Alpha Flight in the 80s, a comic book, but it was an experiment. But they have actually, and in the decades since, they have tried over and over to do it. But never succeeded. So I think that the issue is, because at least until this point, there just weren't enough people glomming onto a gay identity that they needed one. They've never succeeded. I've watched comic book culture for years. They've tried to make gay icon characters. They just don't quite work. So they gotta cannibalize something that's already there. But they're probably going to find that even in the end, that doesn't work so much either. Mm. You know, I mean, this is promoting and normalizing something. And I do remember, I've got a trans child. And I've always had gay friends. On the other hand, the gay movement that I always supported denied recruiting and said you were a paranoid nut if you thought that was happening. And no, it is obviously very recruiting. And it is encouraging. And so, I'm not even saying somebody's instantly evil because they have same-sex attraction or whatever, but this is encouraging. This is saying go this way. And under the main narrative, it's like, no, people were secretly like this all the time. They needed help to just be free. But under a more rational narrative, no, you're growing up, you're confused about your sexuality. What boy doesn't fantasize about being a girl or vice versa at some point in his life? Or for that matter, fantasize about being a horse or a unicorn? You know what I mean? But
Franklin's done that as early as yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Well, wait a minute. You said you wouldn't tell. I told you that in confidence.
Were you being a dragon again?
I was. I'm sorry.
Dragon.
Sorry about that.
No, but, you know.
You laugh. I see some online communities, man. There's people who put their identities around that stuff. Mm. And that, to me, you know, I get in trouble with my trans daughter, but I'm like, you know, I see a lot of choice here. I don't see a lot of, and I see a lot of people choosing something here, you know, and it's like they are normalizing it in kids and saying this is a great choice. And you know what? Okay, maybe some are going to be okay, but I think a lot of them 10, 20 years out are going to be like, man, I screwed my body up and I thought I would be happy because I put on horns and grew tits, but it didn't work out. I think that's going to be a lot of them. My trans daughter gets mad when I say that. It's like, well, I just feel more comfortable. I just feel more comfortable this way. You know what? Okay, I still love you, right?
Before I forget about it, Max, you bring up a great point. We're dealing with something now with these vaccine mandates, and you know the parents are freaking out, like, oh my God, I'm not giving my child that vaccine. But some of those parents are the same ones that you're talking about that have no problem, giving little Billy or Sally the hormones to transition.
Right.
At such a young age that a lot of people would say that's a dangerous thing.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing because I'm mostly on the other side of the vax issue because my family doctor and I both have grave reservations about all of it, even though I've reluctantly gone along with it because the rest of the family did anyway. And I would never allow a child to transition. I think we need to really be reevaluating that. My trans daughter doesn't agree with me. It's probably going to be an argument we have for a long time. I'm past any anger stage over it. All of this stuff, she lived with her mother too long. Let me put it to you that way. But in any case, she can get mad that I said that too. I don't care. But how anybody denies that this, you know, culturally approving and applauding, encouraging this, of course it's going to affect young minds and the directions they take. It just boggles me that even 10 years ago, if you said there would be recruiting of young prepubescents, he would have said, you're a paranoid nut.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Max, I want to thank you for chiming in here and calling up. I want to welcome you and your friends anytime to call in or drop comments in the chat. Your point of view is always, welcome here and very much wanted. So thank you.
All right. God bless, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Be well. All right. So there you go, Max. A guy from our original starting days. We had him on talking about the Red Pill book that Cassie J. He was actually part of that whole thing. Tremendous guy. A lot of tremendous viewpoints and points of information to be given. I didn't know that about him. He shared a little personal thing there about his life. So he has a front row point of view vantage point. I'm sure like family dinner and holidays must be fireworks and everything, you know.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
So that can be
gonna be a lot of interesting topic of conversation and all like that, and that's interesting.
Absolutely. So he pretty much agrees with me. He doesn't sweat it as much as I do, but again, I am just looking at it as it in the context of it's something that the woke society right now is picking on. That is just another thing that is iconically men and man specific. And now they're going one step further with, this American way, this imperialistic, thing and everything. And what's funny about that is that, I go back to our country being born and going through the rigmarole of establishing ourselves here. It was all about that, having pride in, the American mindset. And I'm wondering if, I know I'm going to get it wrong. But I don't know if it's, is it transcendentalism? That is the term where you are to have, pride and your nation's policies and whatnot. It was specific to here in the United States that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Our ways and how we thought about things and how we wanted the American fabric to grow through the United States at that early time was a good thing. And here we are, more modern society, and there's something to be said to that. What's going on with modern society? Are we progressing too fast, to the point where we're reversing course in terms of, what we were all about, as a country? So topic for another show, but, very interesting. I know we have comments here. Oh my God, there's like a ton of people here. Let's see what we got here.
I think it was Marty.
Here we go. The actual King Smith.
Oh, he's in the house.
So I may have missed earlier points. The same ladies' other videos and their TikTok page reveals that they be in skimpier clothes. So them tripping is funny to me. Yeah, right. Exactly. We did do that, King. We actually dropped in on a few of their TikToks, and the girl shared a story about getting blackout drunk at a strip club and pushing other strippers off poles so that they could dance around. So, this is the one that, God forbid she wears, more thigh high, you know, shorts to work.
Probably hotter than the strippers.
Well, that's what she was saying.
Yeah.
Cop cuffs. First time was when a coworker wanted to have a business meal at Hooters.
Very good. A business meal. Yeah, it's business.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about how we're going to expand business. While something else expands.
Yeah.
Would you like some Gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Yeah, oh my gosh, Marty. Boy. Superman is not an American anymore. He is only officially a globalist. You know what's funny? Florida Jeff joining the program here with his comment. It's actually very interesting he brings this up, Franklin. The new Superman, newest iteration in the movies, the Man of Steel, Henry Cavill, they did a thing with him in the movie where he is actually viewed as an outsider, okay? Where, you know, he's, you know, they use it. It's funny that they don't mind calling him an alien, but they don't use it here in the United States. But he is depicted as, oh, well, should we trust somebody that comes from another world and believe his by the word of mouth, you know? So his globalist point is actually warranted to that, where, you know, we're actually doing that. You see, we can't even make Superman an endearing figure that wants to genuinely help mankind, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is now being depicted in these new iterations as, well, we should question even Superman, you know, and you know, we're doing stuff like that. So that's very interesting. So they've already kind of made him like a more outsider kind of character in the newest forms of the movies they've had out there. He also says, I disagree. Superman was not a political tool when he was created in 1938. The closest he got to politics was the numerous covers and stories of him fighting the Japanese and the Nazis.
And the Nazis.
Yeah, that is true. They did that. They did that with a lot of things. They did that with Bugs Bunny, as a matter of fact.
Some of those cartoons.
Which a lot of those were banned because they were, well, they're banned now because they're like, oh, wow. Well, they, you know,
in those days, that was, you know, another way of getting through.
I know. And it wasn't, you see, what people fail to get today is that the satire and characterization of a person or a group of people does not necessarily mean that they're taking a swipe at them in terms of who they are down to their core, you know, as Asian Americans or African Americans and what have you. Okay, just like you said, Franklin, back then it was just a way to, you know, depict, you know, how that culture was perceived in the general public, okay, and how they translated it to that right. medium of the cartoons,
mm-hmm.
okay. It wasn't to say that they were, you know, dumb people or less than. Less than the Americans.
Right.
Okay. But again, what we have now is everybody over analyzes, and it's a knee jerk reaction to, oh, well, you see how they drew that Asian, you know, that was in that Bugs Bunny cartoon, and he had, you know, they over exaggerated his voice and they're insulting them. That's what they're doing. No, back in 1935, you know, again, first of all, it was supposed to be funny. It was still a cartoon.
It still is funny. Yeah, sorry.
So, you know, it's supposed to be a slight exaggeration, okay, or maybe an over exaggeration, but it's not meant to be that they were a bad people.
Of course.
Right? he has evolved throughout the 50s. There were some stories of him denouncing nuclear warfare, but the editor of the mag said that in the letters pages, Superman does not get involved in politics. And let me tell you, like, Florida Jeff is much more involved in comics than I would ever be, because I, even as a kid, I am not reading letters to the editor in my comic. So,
Chris, were you ever a big comic? You weren't a big comic reader.
I was. As a kid, my favorite was Spider-Man, but more so it was the Incredible Hulk. I loved, you know, as a kid, I loved the idea of, you know, that regular guy changing into like something crazy, you know? And even, you know, I'm of that age where, you know, my Incredible Hulk was Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, okay.
You know? So I grew up loving that TV show, and, you know, some of my first memories of watching, you know, comic book stuff was that. Mm-hmm. I was always a huge fan of comics, you know, but like I said, primarily it was Spider-Man, because Spider-Man, it wasn't so much of Spider-Man himself. It was, I loved the villains because they had such a array of villains, and I thought that was cool.
Doc Ock.
That he had to fight against. Yeah.
Yeah. Doc Ock and then the Green Goblin.
My favorite villain was the Green Goblin.
Yeah, you too? Really?
I love that character. Again, because, you know, maybe it was because it was a regular guy with a split personality. He was like he was just a maniac when, you know, at those certain points. But, you know, and then, like I said, the Incredible Hulk was just cool because I love the idea of
this guy,
and then he gets pissed, you know, somebody beats him up, or, you know, he gets in a tough situation, he just hulks out. And, you know, definitely a fan growing up of comics. He was an American through and through. He said true, but I think he meant through and through, which is easy because back then most people agreed with what it was to be American. You know, whether Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. Yeah, right. It didn't matter. Today we have become divided on political lines. That's true. And I'll say that right now. I think, you know, while I am somebody that leans libertarian and leans to conservative values, I think we've gotten to the point right now in politics and life where it's complete tunnel vision. And even if you say that you, you know, like ideas of certain people and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you are immediately pushed to the side and marginalized, and, you know, certain people won't even talk to people, you know, if they, you know, have opinions on about certain other people. And usually it's political people, because that's the hot stuff today.
And has been.
Yeah. And it's just crazy. Marty, next Superman will be fighting the CCP. And so DC. That's right. I'll have to go back and watch the intro of this. Yeah, you definitely do. You definitely want to check it out. Then patriotism and nationalism used to be a desirable trait. 100%. Chris also enjoyed the cartoons and the magazines. Listen, Marty, how did you know that?
Marty knows everything.
He also, these guys are getting on me tonight. They also enjoyed the Wonder Woman TV show. Oh yes, that's right. That's right. Linda Blair was my Wonder Woman. Growing up, actually, I shouldn't say growing up. That show was well off the air by the time I was watching stuff. But you know, there was nothing else that was established as Wonder Woman, except Linda Blair at that time. So, yeah.
I was a Linda Carter person. She used to run around that little army outfit.
I'm sorry. What am I talking? Linda Blair is freaking The Exorcist.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Linda Carter. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So. Diana Prince, a little hair up in the bun, getting ready to, you know, spin around. Yeah, what? Didn't get any better than that.
Bolts, you know. all right. So yeah. So that's that. So I think we put a bow on that one. I want to go through these next ones pretty quickly here because We're running up over an hour. People remember Alicia Silverstone from Clueless way back in the day. Very popular late 90s or mid 90s, I think it might have been, teen movie. She also did a show or movie, I should say, Batman and Robin, okay, where she portrayed Bruce Wayne's niece, who inevitably became Batgirl, okay. Now they probably would try to call her Batwoman, you know. But she has been reflecting on TikTok. Everybody loves TikTok, Franklin, on being body shamed as Batgirl. Okay. She says she is reflecting on that time where she starred in the 97 film. She said she apologized for on someone had apologized for calling her fat girl. oh my goodness. The 45-year-old actress duetted a video in which a young woman said, "I want justice for Alicia Silverstone. Y'all had her, you know what up." So she pulled up a screenshot of a specific Entertainment Weekly piece entitled "A Weighty Issue." In the story, Silverstone, who was 19 at the time of filming, was compared to Babe the Pig and was to be was and had said to be slimming fast for her role as Batgirl. Okay, so I guess she was doing slim fast to make sure that she could fit into the costume or something.
Didn't slim fast enough, I guess.
I guess not. Oh my god. I was having my crazy moments, she said. I was being called fat girl. I didn't want to, it didn't make me think, oh yes, I'm going to try really hard. My response was hell no. I had no interest in being famous or maintaining that kind of fame. So, you told me that acting meant I was going to be called fat. I have to do things a certain way. I was like, blank off. So she didn't want anything. Allegedly, she said that's what turned her off from acting. Okay. So
she retired. I never would have known.
I never would have known either. And we're not going to play the video because it doesn't really garner watching a video.
Does it lend itself to the cause?
Basically, she said that everybody on that Clueless movie were obsessed with weight. They basically they were frustrated her, she basically said, "Yeah, that is what caused her to eject from acting." Okay. You know, that's part of it with acting. Okay. And when you are 19 years old and you have, you know, some tremendous movies that are out there and you're building your career, well, everybody's eyes are going to be on you.
Okay? Of course.
And if you know, you can choose one of two things. Okay. You can choose to feed into that fame and do that and do what is necessary. Now, again, if she had a true problem with her weight and had an issue, then, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully she got some help with that. But it's not the industry's fault because you didn't want to step up and do what you needed to do to garner roles going forward, you know. I could be wrong. Am I wrong, Frank?
No, I think you're right on the money. I mean, I'm sure the jobs dried up when she started acting up.
Yeah, I mean, if they're coming to you with a role and they say, okay, well, you know, we're looking for something like this, and you know, you have to wear a dress and you got to do it, and she's like, oh, well, you know,
it sort of kind of comes around getting back to Hooters, you know?
Yeah, right. It does.
It sort of comes right around, you know, full circle.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, hey, she can do what she wants, but again, you know, they're not shaming you. Okay. It's not body shaming. If the role calls for X, Y, and Z, and you don't want to do X, Y, and Z. Here's an example for you, everybody. If Chris Hemsworth didn't want to get in shape for the role of Thor, guess what? Somebody else would be have played in that role.
It was okay? Probably 1,000 other people ready to go.
Yeah, and I'll share something else with the audience. Another actor that a lot of people love, Keanu Reeves, he actually shies away from roles like that because he doesn't want to get involved in doing, you know, hitting the gym 24/7 and living that lifestyle. He actually said that. He actually said that he had some, you know, roles that he passed up and actually some that he was doing early on in his career where they said, hey, you know, you got to drop a couple of pounds and, you know, slim up for this role. Oh, and that ticked him off. But you know what? He did it because he wanted the money and he wanted, you know, the opportunity to be in that particular vehicle. So that goes with the, you know, when you're an actor, that's what it is. It's like when you're a bodybuilder and that's your life. You know, and I have friends that are like that. They're professional bodybuilders and they sell products. They have other things that they have going on with that. If they are not in the gym twice a day, every day, they don't get the opportunity to have those, those speaking engagements.
Right.
They don't get to, you know, schlep the, you know, the diet drinks and protein drinks that they, you know, that they get paid for. You know, they get income for that. So if they are not willing to do that, that goes away and that goes to somebody else. They don't have the right to say, oh, well, they're, you know, they're body shaming me because I gained 20 pounds and I, you know, I'm a little bloated today, you know, sorry. So that's what it is. All right. So let's see here. I know we got a ton of people here. Let's see. I'm trying to catch up, guys. Let's see. I think I'm here. Alex Patino. Globalism will not work just for the simple fact that people speak different languages and that automatically makes people tribal. Us versus them. More to follow. Good point. Good point, Alex.
Excuse me.
He also says, look at history of Spain. 5 languages were spoken. The official that everyone speaks, even in Latin America, is called Castilian. I'm not going to go through all these, but there's a litany of, so there you go. And that's just in Spain alone. So, holy cow. So there you go. And he is on the mantra that globalism will not work. So that's where Alex chimes in. Check her out in The Crush. Meow. Yes, there you go. Right. That's again, that was from her early days as she was, you know, gaining her popularity. So, but again, you know, that's early on, you know, now. And, you know, God bless her. If she doesn't want to work, then that's fine, you know. But again, you know, the problem isn't everybody else, you know. And that's another thing with society right now. It's everybody else's problem when you don't like it, you know, or it doesn't fit into what you want to do or how you want to live your life. And there's a lot of these celebrities do that. She was 16 in 1990. Oh, okay. There you go. Well, there you go. We'll give her a
hey now
for that. All right. So we're going to do some rapid fire here. We're going to do some, as I like to call them, Franklin.
Yes.
I like to call them the quick hits. Right there. We're going to do some quick hits for us, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. All right. And I was going to make this a segment, but I'm just running right through it right now.
All right.
All right. Well, I want to know about polling because they said Biden's polling numbers are worse than Obama, Bush, Clinton, but better than Trump at the same point in their presidencies. Basically, what it's saying here is that Biden right now is at 43% approval, 51% disapproval in the local Real Clear Politics. Donald Trump stood at 40%, 55% at the same point in his presidency. Mr. Obama was at 52-43 back in 2009. Slick Willie Bill, who actually just got out of the hospital. God bless him. Hopefully he's feeling better.
Yeah, he doesn't look bad. Doesn't look bad at all.
Yeah. Well, all those nurses that were helping him out there probably.
Didn't sleep with any of them nurses.
Oh, she didn't give me a proctology exam. I think I want one. I need one. He was at 48%, 45 in 93. And George W. Bush was at a whopping 88% approval, 9% disapproval in October of 2001. As they say here, that was a lot of that had to do with 9/11, and we were on the war path. So there was a, you know, an influx of, you know, people feeling, you know, very, very, very patriotic at that time. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it, you know what, I'll let you start this one, Franklin. My question to you is poll numbers. Do people make too much about them? Do they mean anything at any particular time?
I would have to say that sometimes people do make a big deal about poll numbers. I mean, you got to have something to base something on, okay? But sometimes people will, instead of doing their own research, they'll just say, yeah, okay, you know what? This poll say this, this poll say that, and I'll just take that and go with it as opposed to doing their own research. But yeah, polls are a big deal. Not for nothing. I think polls have a big thing to do with the administration prior to what we have now. I think polls did a lot to get Mr. Trump elected.
Yeah, well, back when Trump was running?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. I mean, a poll in general.
Right.
Polls had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I think they are important at certain points and times in a presidency. Okay. I think early on, as we're seeing here, it can, a lot of it's based on, you know, public opinion in terms of what's going on at that particular time. Okay. If you have a lot of negative things, obviously you're going to be on the downside of things.
Right.
But I think, if it happens early on in the presidency and things don't rebound in year two, it can dog you and it can wind up defining your, you know, 4 years in office or what have you. I think early on it happens, but I think a candidate's presidency is very cyclical. You know, I think it ebbs and flows. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. And I always say it. Yeah, actually, I don't say it. They say it in general. You know, it's about the economy, stupid. That usually holds true for a president. If the economy is in the toilet, okay, especially when it comes towards election time, you're in big trouble. You know, you're in big trouble. All right. So
People are spending more money and things like that. Yeah, that's going to have a lot to do with it. $4 worth of gas at the gas pump, you know, like you said, the economy and things like that. Yeah, that's going to have a lot to do with it. People will remember that.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so we got to go here. We got to go there. Okay, let's do this. I'll give I'll give my new camera another. It's my old camera that's new. I never use this interview, damn it. So I'll do this for the rest of the show during this segment. Okay, the next one we're gonna share out here. We have uncomfortable repairs, Franklin. Oberlin College student is scared over cisgender male workers used in female dorm.
Boy.
So a student at
cis member, Chris? Did I get that right?
Cisgender.
Cisgender? Okay. I don't know what that means.
Well, cisgender, okay, is when it is the gender in which you were born with, okay? That's where you begin, okay? Right. So it doesn't matter if you, ironically, if you transition, as, you know, Max was talking about in, you know, in his family there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you transition to the other sex. Your cisgender is what you began with, okay?
Oh, so which like I
weird,
was...
Which is weird.
Franklin gender, okay.
There you go. What is weird, though, is that that kind of flies in the face of the whole, well... you're saying that you know you're trying to you know tell me my gender is not fluid. What are you talking about? You know, well, how can it be fluid and also not be fluid if you're cis? Mm. If your cisgender is what you started as. So whatever. Let's just get onto this article because I'm getting a headache just going back and forth with it again.
Sisters generate.
So basically it says that this student, okay, which in this place, this is a private college, Franklin. This is not like, you know, some state university somewhere. People pay upwards of $80,000 a year to go here, okay? And this student was left angry, scared, and they didn't understand why the school allowed this male worker to install radiators in a dormitory dedicated to women and transgendered students. Okay. How, you know, so it's kind of from the, you know,
how dare you
department where, they basically said that, they should not have let these guys in to repair their broken radiator system. Okay. They said here, I was angry, scared, and confused. Why didn't the college complete the installation over the summer when the building was empty? Why couldn't they tell us precisely when the workers would be there? Why were they only notifying us, you know, the day before the installation was to begin? So.
Where was this? Phi Beta Kappa?
No, this is not Phi Beta Kappa. So they felt they had anxiety. Okay.
Oh, God.
So they didn't want their broken system basically worked on by these men. Okay, so I would say this to them: well, do you want to either sweat or freeze your ass off, or do you want these guys to come in there and do the damn work? I mean, am I missing something, Franklin?
I mean, I. Just try. I mean, I know this is a stretch, okay, but just try to find a guy or woman to install this that's not straight, that's not a burly plumber to do this type of work. Really? Come on.
It's just insane.
Where was this again?
This was Oberlin College in Ohio.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that tells you at $80,000 a semester, you could tell where that's coming from. All right. So let's go here. The last thing here is Walmart versus the whiteness. Okay. Walmart Incorporated has launched a critical race theory training program that denounces the United States as a white supremacist system and teaches white hourly wage employees that they are guilty of white supremacy thinking, okay, and internalize racial superiority, okay? So there you go. So, basically a whistleblower made this basically the test or the questionnaire public knowledge, okay, to everybody. And basically they're telling the people here, their workers, okay, that they need to read this paraphernalia as so that they can, you know, be more thought-provoking and constructive when they are out there working at their daily jobs here at Walmart. Okay. So the billionaires, mm-hmm. okay, the billionaires are telling $14 an hour workers that, hey, you got to do better because you are a white supremacist. Okay. And you know what's funny about this, Franklin? I want to know the percentage of Walmart workers that are actually white in a lot of these areas.
You got a point. You got a really good point.
I know a lot of the ones that I know that I shop at and everything, because I go in and out there every once in a while. And there's a lot more minorities mm-hmm. working at Walmart than there are white people. So
I'll go along with that.
So I find it very ironic that they're having, you know, their contingent of white employees. Now here's the thing. Like, I assume that this is a general, like, employee thing where, okay, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have this today. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe is coming in and we're going to have, you know, this discussion. Do they only do it for the white people that work there?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, is that what we're getting at here? Like,
that's a good one.
You know, I mean, you know, like, what about some of the places where it's in, you know, predominantly like Black and Latino neighborhoods? You know, they walk in there and it's like, okay, we're going to start this conversation. And then they look around and it's like, okay, maybe not.
Places like where they hide the Afro Sheen behind the counter. Remember that?
Exactly, right.
All the Afro Sheen and all the ethnic hair products.
Exactly.
Actually, I'm sorry.
But no, absolutely.
Brother can't get a Jerry curl.
Just, you know, again, just, you know, kind of mindless, right, Franklin?
Oh, but of course. I mean, I just don't get it. Very out of touch.
You know, again, you know, it just reeks of, you know, just not, you know, not being tuned in and just being, you know, so, you know, we got to do this because, you know, it's almost like Walmart said, you know what? I think Target is doing something like this. And they had like some kind of, I know somebody that works there and they had a, you know, a seminar on, you know, critical race theory. Mm-hmm. We got to do something too. Joe in media relations, okay, write something up this weekend and let's get people in here. You know?
Quick.
So I think that's what happened here. And it's just again, it reeks of just doing something just to go along, to get along.
To go along, to get along. And also in case somebody says something, you know, they can say that they've done their part type of a thing.
Right. Florida Jeff says, I heard almost every corporation exec in Walmart is white. Shouldn't they be stepping down? So a minority can take those positions. There you go. That's a great point. That is a tremendous point. And actually, you know what? We'll make that the quote of the night. Florida Jeff. All right. Okay. So
affirmative action at Walmart. There you go.
That's it. All right. So again, it's getting to be the witching hour here. I want to thank everybody in the chat for chiming in and giving us your two cents. I want to thank Max for calling in.
Yeah, there we go.
It's for him to do that. I look forward to having his comments in the future. But most of all, Franklin, I have to thank you for being here.
Not a problem, Chris. Always, always, always glad to be here. I look forward to this. And it was good. We had a really, really good show.
Absolutely. And the Joker says it's a great show. It is great because you and everybody else is here watching.
Yep.
And I want to thank everybody for watching. I want to thank everybody that's going to watch this. Ladies and gentlemen, You know, society is nuts. They're crazy. They're out of touch, but we're never going to be. We're going to give it to you straight here at the Red Lens. I want to wish you a good night and God bless.
Great weekend.